good afternoon to you. I'm Bill Graff, along with Nan Su and Amy Howe. This is, of course, China Uber Alice, our Thursday visit each week on all things China and how the country of China is affecting the rest of the world. Hello, Nan.
Hi, Bill. Welcome back. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Yeah, I was on vacation last week and sort of here.
Have a good time?
Well, I got some stuff done. I don't know if it was a good time or not, but it was. Anyway, good to hear from you, Amy. How are you?
Well, you want me to tell the truth or you want me follow the...
Always the truth. We're media.
Yeah, we're media. We have to tell the truth. Kind of a depressing day yesterday, no?
Okay, if a KSCO still, well, I can tell the truth, I don't feel that good. And I was sad and frustrated.
Yeah, a little bit. Well, that's the way the world has set us up to be today, I think.
Yeah, it's a little depressed, but we are okay. We are still the greatest nation on earth. So we're going to talk about, of course, in the last couple months, we have been really focusing on the election. We have been talking about Biden's family's tie, business tie with China, and possible manipulation of our election by Chinese communist regime. So now, with the election dust start settling down, finally we are coming back to our focus, China. So today we are going to talk about Hong Kong's police has arrested more than 50 pro-democracy leaders. We have a great guest who is an expert on Hong Kong. That's going to Ken Chang. It's going to be with us a little later today. And of course, as you all mentioned yesterday, what happened in our state capital. That was a horrible experience in the nation's history. But however, one thing I need to bring up today is that President Trump definitely, historically, turned the tide around and changed our China policy in the last 4 years. Nobody can debate with me. On that, that's a historical change and put our China policy in the right direction. But however, one thing it does concern me is this morning that I learned that Facebook actually indefinitely banned Trump and his family. I don't know what happened, and although the horrible things happened yesterday, but I don't think that Trump actually...
Let's explain what they actually did. They actually turned off his account.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that shouldn't happen in this country. I mean, that's a freedom of speech. If president doesn't have freedom of speech, then no one else's freedom of speech will be guaranteed. So we'll talk about that on the second hour, and then we'll talk about a bunch of other things.
But first,
it's our Amy's exciting story. Amy spent more than a decade of time in re-education camp during the Cultural Revolution under Chairman Mao. So Amy's usual segment, it's always here, enlighten us. So Amy, what are you going to bring to us today?
Yesterday, 2 a.m. in the morning, and I received a message from China, Shanghai. And it's kind of interesting. It said that tomorrow you will see historic show in your country. And we always wanted to learn, Hollywood to produce a Hollywood star movie, Las Vegas show. And but this time, you will see the show tomorrow in your country, and which was very similar in my country.
Is that the early morning of yesterday or today?
Yesterday. yesterday when Whoa. We started. At 8 o'clock, you will see it. And it was a script by Chinese. And it means, you know, we was pretty much similar in their country, was always talking about the election, talking about the bigger decision. January 6th, everybody, the whole world was looking for that. So they were, that's kind of implications. Basically, it's kind of laugh at us. You know, that's your so-called democracy. That's going to be your favorite freedom of the speech. And so, you know, I was, I read about, I didn't even, because it was about 5 o'clock East Coast, right? So 2 o'clock in here. So until 8 o'clock, maybe a little earlier, so we will see what's happening in the Capitol. So anyway, after yesterday, and I really did some soul searching and clarify, and for 68 years of my life, and for especially recently, and we are participate with the current movements, and do we really doing something wrong? Did we do something right or wrong? And what is the freedom of the speech? What is the propaganda? So I really research that and think about all the experience I have. So I want to talk about that and today's story. I told the last couple of sections my story, say that, you know, 1969, I went to the labor care re-education program. So 2019 will be 50th anniversary. And so the CCP, and they organize a celebration and asking everybody in the movement to write a memoir and to publish a propaganda book. It have photos, the stories, and basically the title will be Never Regret. So it's not to think about whether they did it wrong and the things, or just tell the truth, right? It's just still for their political purpose. And so that's what we call propaganda, right? So in my life, in 30 years in China, you know, my understanding, the propaganda, you know, is always it's the rulers, and they you misleading and tell you lie, and to brainwash you, and for their political purpose. But things are coming to United States. I think, well, it's different. You know, we don't see the we don't call propaganda, and we see lots of advertisement. But all the enterprise, free enterprise for their financial gains to have advertisement. So if you call this, very few is for political purpose. So I was not really pay attention for that, that issues. And then 2010, I visit Israel, stay in Tel Aviv for a week. And visiting an old lady, she's 100 years old, she told me something really inspired me and made me to think about, I spent 10 years in that labor camp. And she is my late husband's grandfather's student. And she became in Vienna, musical conservatory, and that she become a well-known concert pianist. And when she's a Jewish, so when the World War II, Hitler coming to power, and so they started this concentration camp. And but at that time, they told the people, they totally isolated those people and tell. We started this propaganda. Say that, yes, they do have a concentration camp, but that they don't call concentration camp. They say that camp where people all live there very, very happy. So they have invited this LON, before UN, I think the League of the Nation, to investigate it, and including some reporters to take pictures and to show the people how happy those people in the camp. So this lady, she's been recruited because she's an excellent piano concert, a piano player. So they recruit her. Also recruit a lot of people, the top performers in the one camp, and I make a called the model camp. And so when they performing, they do everything. They told the media and told this LON, the organization, former UN, and they are so happy. No such a thing. And people go to gas chamber and being tortured. Nothing like that. And so she be interviewed. She even speak. They record it, and then take a picture. She performing everything else, right? And so they showing the film. I think probably their research probably they do have the film, and for Hitler's propaganda. So whole world being fooled. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, and the whole world being fooled because they believe that's the truth, right? Because actually it's totally lie. But that they started this model camp, and then after war, after she was separated from her family, and then she found out and all the propaganda that she did for the Hitler, and totally is just can most of people die. All her family is perished, and she just don't want to live because she keep those newspapers talk about her performance or propaganda newspaper, and the magazines, the pictures, everything. And she was so happy, and she telling the truth that actually it's lie and lie to everybody. So she didn't want to live. And also this survivor guilt, it just tortured her. She just burned everything. Also, she want to set a fire on herself, pour the gasoline. And of course, she being rescued and survived. And so she told me, she said, since then, her second life reborn, and she wanted to dedicate it to fight propaganda. And after I listened to her story, and that time it was about 40 years anniversary for my labor camp. And they already started gathering the information to make the book. And I just write a letter to everybody participate. I say that, I told this lady's story. I say, because my camp, I went to the labor camp, also make the model camp. And even make the movie. A documentary, and saying we are very happy there, and Mao's movement is great, So they're gonna replay those things, and then have everybody. So I just told every participant. I don't know if it have a result or not. At least some people they stop, and they against that. They say they're not gonna participate, and if they wanted them to write. I said, if they want to write, I want to write the truth. So that's the story about the propaganda. Now, coming to today. So you think, and right now, I feel the meeting, and mainstream meeting, are they telling the truth? And why these things happening? Why yesterday millions of people go to Washington, D.C.? For what? Right, because they don't trust the media, they don't trust the government, and the representative we selected, we elected, and they don't trust anymore. Why? Because mountain of evidence show the voting fraud, and nobody wanted to have investigated. So that's the reason we had to go back to original why. So that's the reason people wanted to seeking for the truth. That's why they wanted to defend their rights. So that's why I think they have a right and to go to petition and go to express themselves freely and go to Washington, D.C. So much for that.
It's quite a comparison, isn't it?
Yeah, I want people to think about that. So I wanted to read about what I research about what is this freedom of speech and why it's different. And lots of countries also say, but the people say, oh, United States and freedom of speech. That's only the reason I come into this country, right? So what is it? And I think freedom of speech is a principle that supports the freedom of individual or communities to articulate their opinions and ideas without the fear of retaliation, censorship, or legal sanction. So if right now I speak in KSCO, right? If right now I feel fear of retaliation, so I'm not able to speak. So that means we don't have a right of freedom of the speech. Then another thing I wanted to say, I think is so important to why our country is different from other country. We really have a freedom of the speech is the First Amendment guarantee freedoms concerning religion, expression, assembling, and the right to petition. It guarantees freedom of expression by prohibiting Congress from restricting the press or the right of individuals to speak freely. Okay. That's the end of my speech.
Okay.
interesting, though, that even though, Constitution was written in a way to protect free speech, it is interesting that the private company that runs Twitter and the other company that runs Facebook have separate rules that kick in when they think that somebody's saying something that's
they don't like.
It's very interesting that's not monitored a little. I guess because they're technically private companies, private platforms,
based on Section 230.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about.
But I understand Amy's point. It's very, the way she brings it together from what happened under Mao to what the comparison now is very, very, very interesting.
Now, thank you, Amy.
Yes, thank you, Amy.
For bringing us always this enlightenment.
We do have our guest, Ken is waiting.
Oh, great,
So you want me to bring him on?
Yes.
Okay.
To our audience, we have a special guest. He's one of the founding members of Northern California Hong Kong Club, which is a Bay Area-based organization focused on human rights and democracy development in Hong Kong and China. So Ken, it's the founding member of the club, and he is a software engineer in Silicon Valley. He was born and educated in Hong Kong. He continued his graduate study in the United States about 30 years ago and subsequently moved to the Bay Area. It's our honor to have Ken to be with us today. Ken, hey, how are you? Can you hear us?
Hey, thanks for having me. Thank you for providing the opportunity to share what is happening in Hong Kong right now.
Yeah, we just learned that last week, just this past week, there was more than 50 pro-democracy leaders being arrested in Hong Kong. Was that true?
Yes. It happened just Wednesday morning in Hong Kong. Totally, there's 53 Hong Kong Democrat activists arrest under the security law. And basically what the Hong Kong police claim they are arrest because they are participate in informal primary in 2020. So this informal primary, they said, will be with against the national security law, and then basically it's an act of subversion of the state. So they basically in the morning, about 6 a.m., they drove about 1,000 police officers to those individuals' homes. So most of them is the candidate. They joined just like similar to in the United States, right? In Hong Kong, suppose last year in September, they have the Legislation and Council election. But at the end, the government using the excuse of the COVID-19 to postpone it. So the democracy camp in Hong Kong is about 2 months earlier. So it will be July 2020. Because Hong Kong doesn't have a formal primary process, so they organize informal primary election. So trying to select the best candidate to compete in this legislation election. So in total, there's more than 600,000. So, but now the government said because the candidate pledged to veto when they get elected, pledged to veto the government's budget, and also using the law given by the basic law, if they veto the budget twice, this tactic can force the chief executive to step down. So that is the way to force the government, Hong Kong government, to listen to the Hong Kong people, to because as everybody knows, right, in the last year, they have a 1 year anti-extraditional movement. So basically, it's trying to block a law passed by a supposed government, try to push out to extradite the defendant to mainland China. And also, the movement, another long-term goal is trying to push the democracy movement in Hong Kong. So now the government will say, because they're using this law given terms, if they get elected, so they will be violating the national security law. That is ridiculous, and it's laughable if we look at what's a normal practice in the Western democracy.
Ken, let me ask you this. Hong Kong has, because of the way the system was set up under the British, the Hong Kong area was way freer, at least more freedom was allowed in the Hong Kong trading area than in, of course, anywhere else in China. What made anybody think that people were going to be willing to go back to the Chinese system after all that freedom was allowed for all those years?
Right. So that is the what the one country system supposed to differentiate Hong Kong from the rest of the China. So in early 1980, so because there's a lease, right? So Hong Kong is the result of the Opium War in the 19th century between British and China. So under this, after the law, after the war, and then there's several treaties. So one of the, so after the war, Hong Kong had, Hong Kong Island is basically stay to British forever, but the Kowloon Peninsula, they have so-called, as you can say, it's a land or there's a lease for 99 years. So this 99-year lease would expire in 1997. So at that time, so in the early 1980s, so the British government and the Chinese government have negotiated to handle how to deal with the Hong Kong situation after 1997. So at the time, because China is not like today, so the economic situation is much worse. And then Hong Kong at the time, the, I think the GDP almost is about one third, a tiny Hong Kong is about one third of the GDP of mainland China. So at the time, Hong Kong is very critical to China. So that's after the negotiation, so reached a deal called One Country, Two Systems. So Hong Kong will, as Deng Xiaoping promised, Hong Kong will remain its way of life for 50 years without change. And then as the way is saying, what he's claiming is only change the fact, the rest is the same. Of course, we, as we find out now, it is not actually what happened. So, but under the, you can say now it's not one country system. Someone, they say 1.5 system, it's 1.1 system. So it's rolling back to kind of, you can see a lot of this mainland China's way of deal with dissidents, deal with the human rights issue is starting to eroding the Hong Kong way of freedom of speech or the human rights. And also the, Hong Kong is never have a true democratic system. But as the last few years of the British rule, there's some improvement, basically. And then for after 1997, also there's some, you can say, very slow pace democratic movement, development. So if you look at the legislation right now, it's kind of a strange system. So it's a, there's a 70 seat in the legislature. Only half of them are directly elected. The other half is so-called the Functional Institute. The Functional Institute is basically separate into different sectors. And then they have a so-called small circle election. So some company as the member of the Functional Institute, so they have very tiny people. It can select the legislator from the Functional Institute. So by doing that, China or Hong Kong government have a pretty great influence to the half of the legislature. So they can, even though in the Hong Kong's public opinion, so in the, I think the decades of election, you can say, look, after the Tiananmen Square, right, and then Hong Kong, the democracy movement have a great boom. So after the election, in the general election, it's about 60%. About, you can say, 60% versus 40% of pro-democracy camp or the pro-government camp. Mm-hmm. So if the legislature itself is fully directed, fully elected by the people, so the pro-democracy camp will win and can dominate. But because of this strange structure in the legislature by design, so the pro-democracy camp can never control the legislation. So that is why last year had this primary. The goal of this primary is called the 35 part. So basically trying to take half of the seat in the legislation council. So when you have half the seat, and then you can control the bill passage or not.
So how many, the headline I've read and the story I read indicated that dozens of pro-democracy figures were arrested in the crackdown. How many people exactly were taken into custody? Do we know?
Yes, for this particular incident, starting from Wednesday morning, I think the count so far is 53. And those in also in, including one American lawyer. So his name is John Clancy. So he is himself, his profession is a lawyer, but he also served as a volunteer treasury of organization called Power for Democracy. So it's one of the organizations they participate in this primary. So Mr. Clancy had been released on bail on Tuesday morning. So far, I think he probably is the first one got released. And then if I checked the message this morning, that subsequently have several of the arrests also get released. But so far, there's no charge.
There's no charge?
No charge, really?
Right. So you... Basically, that is you can see from what they draw 1,000 police officer, and then release with the charge. You can see this one. They know they may not have merit when they go into the court. They may not have the merit to win. But why they're doing that? So that is intimidating. Basically, try to intimidate the pro-democracy supporter in Hong Kong and ask them to sign.
Were all of them released or just the one?
I don't have the complete information yet. So as I read the last night, Mr. Clancy probably is the first one. And then in this morning, I saw some Facebook messages, a couple more also get released. I'm not sure they go all at release or not. But I think I missed something. The internal, unconfirmed information is the rest should also be released without charge. But we are still waiting for confirmation.
Amy, did you want to ask something?
So those people, the organization and organized the movement is still active?
Because the national security law, so all the demonstration is already kind of banned. So, and there's no last demonstration was permitted by the Hong Kong police. So for this arrest, you can see there's still individual willing to get interviewed by Hong Kong media or international media, but there's no large-scale protest that can happen in Hong Kong right now, because whatever you step on the street, you're risk get arrested.
So no permit will issue again to any pro-democracy
demonstration.
In Hong Kong, they call the law, let's see, I can't remember the exact name. So it's not, the name is not a permit, but it's something you, if you want to have a protest, you give your information to the police. And then the police gives you a no objection notification. So it's an equivalent to a permit. So if they don't give you a no objection, or they give you an objection notice, and that's supposed they can take some action if you do really go out to the street.
I heard about news to say that the last arrest of people, including that Mr. Lan.
Jimmy Lai?
Yeah, Jimmy Lai.
Jimmy Lai, actually, he had been arrested earlier. So he is one of the high-profile figures, pro-democracy figure in Hong Kong get arrested. So his arrest happened in August, in early August in 2020. So by the time the this mass arrest happened on Wednesday morning, he was in jail right now. So if we want to spend a little bit of time, I also can tell you a bit about the story of Mr. Lai.
Yeah.
Right. So Mr. Lai is why he's an important figure in Hong Kong is because he owned the media company. So under his company, the most famous will be the Echo Daily. So it's you can say it's a popular newspaper in Hong Kong. So because China using all kind of way, right? So they can buy out the ownership or using their advertisement as the constraint. So most of the media, either newspaper, television, network media, whatever, right? So already. Have influence, either directly controlled or indirect influence by mainland China. So the group owned by Jimmy Lai is the very few exception. So he still can run it independently, and also he's a kind of pushed himself out in front to advocate democracy in China. So he had been the target for the pro-establishment camp in Hong Kong and especially in mainland China for years. So they want to get him. So after the electoral security law was enacted in June 30th last year, and he is among one of the first arrests. So on that day, August 10, so the police arrest him in his household. And also, they sent 200 police officers to raid his newspaper office. And also for this executive of the Echo Daily newspaper also get arrested. So his charges was a collusion with a foreign country. So
was that because he received an interview from the 16 Minutes?
At the time when he get arrested, there's no clear indication. There's nothing published about what action he did. Triggered.
Is the foreign country that he was charged with colluding with the United States?
That's obviously. So in 2019, actually, he had a trip in Washington, D.C. In that trip, he had met the Vice President Mike Pence, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, and the House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. But at the time, there's nothing concrete about what action. But actually get formally charged at later that year. So it's in December the 10th. So the charge is a conspiracy and colluding with foreign force. So the evidence in the charge is the statement he put on to Twitter. So basically his speech on Twitter is the evidence the government has.
Amy?
So Ken, yes, I'm going to ask you something. So during these 5 months, these charges go, the court trial or how does they sentence? Is it still the British judicial system have a court trial or Chinese CCP's judicial system?
Right. So you can see during his arrest since August, right? So for now it's appointments. You can see a lot of back and forth. You can see Hong Kong still is not like China. but you can see it's closer. So let me list the events related to his bail and also the arrest. So he get arrest, right? And then first, he was on bail and the first arrest. So, and then he, actually, he just put on bail on 300,000 Hong Kong dollars. And the condition is he had to report to the police station once for a while, right? So that is since then. And then about 4 months later, so it's December the 2nd, while he reporting to the police station as the part of the condition for the bail, he get arrested on the spot for alleged fraud. And then for that alleged fraud charges, he was denied bail. And denied bail, and because his case in court will be this year, so it's April 2021. So what it means in these 5 months, he's supposed to be locked up in jail, just waiting for the court case. But he filed an appeal. So in about 8 days later, so it's December 10th, so the December the 10th is the formal charges he had been charged, I guess I mentioned earlier. So the evidence they said is the Twitter statement, right? And by the end of the month, so about 20 days later, after he denied bail, he filed an appeal and then granted the bail by the high court. So, and the condition is a 10 million Hong Kong dollar deposit. And also he had to effectively do a house arrest and cannot accept the interview and also cannot post message and social media. So you can see at this point, you can see the Hong Kong judicial system still is kind of working, but the government doesn't like this appeal itself. So the government appealed again. So 7 days later, so it's December the 30th, the court of final appeal and side with the government. So it's order him back to jail. So that is the back and forth. So because his court case will be in April, so in this 4 months, he will still remain in prison.
So basically, he's still in Hong Kong prison, right?
Correct.
And then are they going to take him to China to try? Or what the trial would be a Chinese judicial system or what?
There is some Beijing politician advocate for that because we don't know yet. It's a possibility because the national security law has a provision. Say there's a certain case, if so-called important to the national security, they can move the child into mainland China. But because his case hasn't been here in court yet, so we don't know what's going to happen at this point.
Ken, is there some sort of precedent as to the punishment for what he's charged with? Do we know what the possible punishment would be?
Because the national security law is just enacted in the later of last year, so there's no exact case name what he was charged. But if I remember correctly, it's something like 7 years to 10 years. But I have to
seven to that. 10 years.
Yes, but if the case moved to mainland China, then those kind of serious case, and then he can to life in prison.
Yeah, disappear.
Wow. Yeah.
Exactly. Yes.
Wow. Well, we can see from
what
we can see from your retelling of what's happening in this particular case, which, you know, is just a, you know, horrible description. But we've learned then that things are not not progressing in Hong Kong the way most Hong Kong residents would prefer. Obviously, freedom of speech is somewhat curtailed, and it's not changing anytime soon, is it?
Right. So I think Hong Kong, in terms of this human rights condition, is moving to the wrong directions.
Yeah.
So the total the anti-extradition movement, why it was draw 2 million Hong Kong people protesting on the street, is exactly we don't want the Chinese judicial system move to Hong Kong, or we don't want Hong Kong people is sent back to China to are subject to the kind of mainland China judicial is controlled by Communist Party. There's no judicial independency. But unfortunately, it's the movement, you can say at this point, is fair. It's not only we cannot stop the erosion of this human rights situation in Hong Kong, is on the other hand, on the contrary, it's accelerated. So you can see some people think of not, because the 50 years of this one country, two system, right, will expire in 2046. So you can say the current situation in Hong Kong probably even worse than what people would think would happen after 2046, a couple years ago.
Wow.
So the situation is not good.
So may I ask you...
the beginning, right?
Go ahead, Amy.
May I ask you one more question? And the Hong Kong citizen right now, they're still free to convert their money to US dollar or transfer money out of the country or not?
I think so far there's nothing changed on that aspect. So it's not like China has this foreign exchange control. You cannot move a certain amount of money out of China, right? I think Hong Kong does not have that. But I think it's more like it's the laundry, the money laundry aspect is the government or the watchdog, the body is looking for right now. But that is for the people, not under charge. For the people, they get arrested, and also some of the people get exiled out of Hong Kong. Hong Kong government does instruct the bank to freeze the assets. So so that I think also including some of the people get arrested in on Wednesday.
So are they freely can use the social media in Hong Kong right now?
That you can say depends, right? So there's still not like China yet. If you post something on social media, the next minute you have a police storm in your house. This is the China situation. But Hong Kong, we haven't get into that yet. But if you look at the charges for Mr. Jimmy Lai, right? So their evidence is the post he put on Twitter. So you can see you potentially, right? So if I live in Hong Kong, if I today I have a tweet and say, okay, because Hong Kong government violate the human rights, and then I appeal to the US government to censor in China. If I'm doing something like that in Hong Kong, I will subject to the same thing as Mr. Lai.
Thank you so much, Ken. It's great to have you and to tell us what's happening in Hong Kong. Please keep eyes for us. And we'll, from time to time, we're happy to invite you back to our program to talk about things happening in Hong Kong. Thank you so much for spending
Thank
time
you.
With us. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back on China Uber Alles. Well, we're just about done with this hour. We will be back with hour number two of China Uber Alles for today. Don't forget to visit our website, ChinaUberAlles.com. Sign up for the newsletter and learn more about our program. We will continue after the network news covers what's going on around the world on KSCO Santa Cruz. Welcome to the second hour of China Uber Alles on AM 1080 KSCO. I'm Bill Graff, along with Nan Su and Amy Howe. And as you heard from the first hour of our program today, we, of course, heard from Amy, and she spelled out, freedom of speech and how sometimes that's compromised. Then we heard from our buddy Ken, who is an expert on Hong Kong, and freedom of speech is not going so well there either. And there are several examples of the same problem around the world. So I don't know. I guess in our second hour today, we were planning on talking about a number of things, including freedom of speech and how that is going in various countries.
Yeah, and then we're going to mainly to talk about if a private company actually have the right to strict your freedom of speech.
Absolutely.
Now, we're talking about the Facebook that basically say they will put indefinitely ban of president and first families or the Facebook account. Now, we all agree that yesterday there was something horrible happened on the Capitol Hill.
Something we'd never seen in the United States.
We never expect.
The only other time that the Capitol was put under siege was during the War of 1812, when the British basically burned down part of Washington.
So basically, whoever, trying to break into the state capitol while the Congress is in session should face the legal consequence. But however, I just don't see any reason. I mean, you take away the president and his first families, all their families' account, because you don't like whatever he spoke. I just don't see that. How far away we're from, what Chinese government is doing? I mean, now we have a big tech that actually can do whatever the Chinese government has been able to do in China.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Amy?
Yeah, I think that's a very good question. Lots of people that told me say, "Oh, this is different. This is in China because the government say you cannot say this that." And but here we're talking about the power. Right? The power and those corporations, big companies, they can do the same like a CCP can do it to their people. So how do we can to express our feelings and for these issues? How?
Well, exactly. And the only difference is that the government is not censoring the communication. It's the private company that owns the platform right now.
Well, I
was thinking about something. For instance, we have a telephone line before the internet, right? So I don't think a telephone company would listening people's conversation say, "Hey, you say something wrong. I don't like it. So you cannot use my telephone. Shut it down." Did it ever happen before? Maybe. I don't know.
I think the only time that's ever happened might have been under government direction way back in the day.
Yeah,
but
FBI or something, they attack it, But they still, nobody say you cannot use the line, So I believe the platform should be just like you can use that. How can they have a right to not let you use it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're taking phone calls at 479-1080, 479-1080, and we have a phone call waiting to talk to us. That's Dick in Santa Cruz. Dick, you're on KSCO on China Uber Alice.
Yeah, it's me again. You're the only guys I call, so I feel some relief when you're on Thursdays.
Thank you.
Yeah, what happened? Yeah, I agree with Amy and you, Hugh, because what happened yesterday, yeah, I'm really surprised that the Republicans in Congress at the time were under discussion of election violations or possible fraud or possible election review or audit, possible changes to our election laws, you know, addressing the exact reason why there were 250,000 people outside. And then they basically gave up and condemned Trump. I mean, if this isn't sound like Chinese elitists, I mean, they're so narcissistic and egotistical that they cannot even consider the peaceful 250,000 people out there, mostly middle age or older, from all over the country, trying to get some relief from a corrupt media, a corrupt Democratic Party, a corrupt Supreme Court. Everybody talks about how, he had 30, 40 cases and they've all been reviewed or considered or...
Well, they've been not considered. They were all dismissed from most of those courts, yeah.
Exactly. That's exactly my point. We were at the pinnacle of some type of... There was a constitutional crisis on the floor at that moment. And they had to stop and consider... If the electoral college needed an audit, needed a review, needed to be looked closer at, nobody has looked and studied closely at this whole issue. And then the spineless elitist rhinos came back. Everybody joined. And I know what's going on. What's going on is they think they're better than thou. A few guys got in. They're probably Antifa or nutcases, and they should be punished for that. But seriously, and I did hear from General Flynn reported, and I think you guys reported, that China bought in two blocks, $200 million and $500 million of Dominican. The machines, the electoral machines that disappeared, they wouldn't come to be reviewed. Every machine has a trace. They wouldn't give up the traces. They obfuscated. They didn't come to meetings. And China owns them. And 95% of our election is based on those machines. Now, if there isn't damn corruption going on here, and if it does, and we're going down the road, I hate to say it, now they own everything, be ready. The hate laws are going to be expanded. I mean, you know, they're going to cut off KSCO radio because I'm talking on it right now. I mean, seriously,
you know, Dick, I said something last night that I really believe. I said something on another radio program last night. We had a lot of discussion about what happened last night, you know, yesterday in the news, of course.
Sure.
And I finally said, look, we're going to have 2 years where we don't have a federal election we have to deal with for 2 years, right? Mm-hmm. And in those 2 years, boy, we would do ourselves a gigantic favor if we revamped how we elect people. If we fix the system.
Yeah.
No, that's off the table.
Why would it be off the table? I'm sure there are enough Republicans in Congress that want to get it done. I'm sure there are enough Democrats that want to get it done.
My gosh, they blew such a chance to get some attention to this. It's a cancel culture. They submitted, just like everybody in China has to submit to their leadership or they're dead. I heard the latest thing in China is you can't say one thing about their fearless leader over there.
Xi Jinping.
They made the rule.
Yeah.
I just heard that. So
yeah, I've heard that. By the way, I've heard that too, actually.
Yeah, he can be disappeared so easy over there. I'm saying it's coming here. That's what I'm saying.
Well, Dick, we appreciate the call, and obviously,
I want some comments on what I said.
I was just about to ask Amy to comment on that because she has firsthand knowledge of what it's like to live in a situation where you don't have any say.
I think that is coming very soon, sooner than we can think. Also, said about 70, at least 75 million Americans have a right to know what's happening, what's happened in the election. How can nobody? Right. They investigated 4 years for the Trump Russian gate, right? But this is when nobody wanted to investigate. Why they don't listen? That the people want to go there to hear their voice. I think we have a right to do that.
Let me ask all of you folks, okay? Because I have this question. After watching what we saw on national television last night and yesterday afternoon, and we saw that it's now possible for this sort of thing to, I mean, I never thought up to yesterday that we would ever see the United States Capitol breached, by a mob.
Nobody thought they would steal election like they maybe did, Bill.
So maybe what we do, maybe what we ought to take away from this is a giant wake-up call.
Yeah. Well, they're talking about, I pointed out to my liberal tenant today, I have one tenant, Whoopi Doo, I'm not a rich guy, but she voted Democrat, she votes the line, right? I said, hey, check it out. Check out Heller versus the U.S. Supreme Court like a few years ago, where by one vote, our esteemed Supreme Court, by one vote, established that you could have an individual right to carry a gun. Well, that, I'm telling you right now. And she says, I have Democrats that they want to keep their guns. I go, well, you better study up on it. She never heard of it.
Yeah.
She never heard so many things. I mean, the media has propagandized people in this. I mean, it's hard for denial and pride are big, are big sins, people. You got to listen to some other stations. And they'll probably get rid of talk radio. They'll put the clamps down on Fox News. I read something on CNN today. They are coming out both barrels against Fox News. I mean, I couldn't believe the article. I mean, it sounded like the Chinese propaganda machine.
Totally, yeah. I think no difference. CNN and the CCTV, no different. The same talk about exactly same thing. Unbelievable. Yeah.
It is. And it's here now in the United States, land of the free and the brave. I'll tell you. Okay, I'll let somebody else get on.
All right, thanks for the call.
Thank you, Dick.
That's Dick in Santa Cruz. You know, Amy, I would like to hear just a little bit about your perception on this whole thing, because I remember way back to Tiananmen Square, when we had the demonstrator, the famous media shot that, was nobody will ever forget, where the one guy was standing in front of the tank in Tiananmen Square. And, I watching that fellow, I thought to myself, even back then, this guy is going away somewhere and we'll never see him again.
Yeah, I don't think anybody see him again. And anything about
that? No, we don't know the whereabouts of the tank man, the young, very young teenager that's standing in front of
four tanks.
Yeah. Right, yeah. And he was brave, but actually nobody knew.
Brave, but not terribly bright, because he literally put himself away. Wherever he is, he did it. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time for the Chinese media.
Well,
absolutely.
Yeah, but whatever he did, it actually encouraged the millions of Chinese people.
Absolutely, but
the image. Yeah, maybe he didn't know about it.
That image encouraged a lot of people. For years, people remembered the tank man.
Forever,
I wonder what the images yesterday will evoke. Will we have more freedom of speech, or will they try to close it down completely?
Well, I think whatever happened yesterday is supposed to be responsible by the few people that actually broke into yeah. the Capitol, broke in into the Congress where it's still in session. I think those people shall be faced legal consequence. But I think we still need to protect our freedom of speech.
What's that, Amy?
I say some people, they already identified they are Antifa. They were protesting as a place. Also, one guy was totally related to Nancy Pelosi's son-in-law. They have the picture to show. He hung around with them. Why?
Really?
Right? So, yes. Yeah. The guy with this guy was very outstanding because he always wear those costumes, the hat. Remember that guy?
Oh, yeah,
picture everywhere, yeah.
The guy that has painted face. I think that's face.
Yes, painted a face, yes. That's the guy. And so those are Antifa peoples. And
what is his relationship? Did you say that guy has a relationship with...
Nancy Pelosi son-in-law, the pictures, and the picture with him, and then Nancy Pelosi son-in-law was hanging around with that guy, because he was in several demonstrations in the BLM, and then the Antifa, the protesting in the summertime.
Wow.
You know.
I didn't know that
either.
No. The other interesting thing, man, you probably read about the Chinese, that's official, CCTV official, Chinese, the spokeswoman for the foreign minister, and she said, Hua Chunying.
Oh, yeah?
She said, she said that something was interesting. She said, look, when Hong Kong have protesting, said American people say that they are for freedom, for it's good or whatever. I say now people go to the capital here. What do you call that? Right? You say that our country, GCP, we wanted to remain the peace, control the peace for the people, for Chinese people. Right? So we did a good. You say we crack it down, demonstration, crack down the democracy.
Well, nobody cracked down the demonstration. I mean, President Trump called it off immediately. I think as a political leader, if you can draw people out to the street, you should be able to, and you're responsible to send them home with safety. And Trump did it. So I think that was...
Not Trump. And the other people in the Hill afterwards without the Trump. Because they want Trump out from the tomorrow, yesterday, right?
Well, no. Trump published a speech asking people going home, right?
Yeah, but he did that. Yeah. I think the reason why some of the media are so angry with how it went down was he told people to go home in the recorded statement you're talking about.
Right,
but he did that after he had the rally where he revved everybody up. And I think that's
Well, I think in the rally he didn't. You know, he's just basically.
Well, he said we're never going to give up.
Of course they're never going to give up to find out the irregularities happening in the election, right? I think we deserve, everyone here in the U.S. deserve an answer.
Well, I think around the world. Look, let me say.
But they're not the congressmen, not the lots of congressmen and the senators. They think we not deserve. They think we disturb the democracy. We try to destroy the capital. I don't know. There's lots of people's speech. They say that. Condemn the people, Trump supporters. Condemn the rally. Condemn the protesters.
Well, I think
our right of a speech.
I think the people that should be condemned are the people that breached the
Capitol building.
The Capitol building. I think those are the main people we need to condemn. Are the people who, you know, broke windows and you know, there was that horrible scene. I don't know if you folks saw the picture, but it's inside the House of Representatives, you know, the room where they all meet. And they had a big desk up against the door and four guys, obviously the security guys for the chamber, were pointing guns at the door, and anybody that came through that door wasn't going to make it. You know, they were going to shoot him. I mean, that's it was a scary, scary photograph.
Yeah, yeah, that was horrible. That was horrible. Yeah, I think whoever breached the security line and got himself into the Capitol building need to face the legal consequence. But the reason we have this legal consequence to charge those people is we want to protect people's freedom, right?
And protect our leaders. I mean, we elect these people.
Very interesting is that how can they know that's going to happen? How can they don't have even normal security?
Right.
I've been to the Capitol.
Good question.
2016. I went once. I tell you, the security is unbelievable. You can't even close.
Yeah.
And every day, I went there 3 days for lobbying the post office reform. And every time I go to different buildings, it took me 2 hours to go through the different security.
Very good point,
that's
Amy.
Normal, yeah. But then why yesterday was not there? I don't understand.
Very good point.
You know what's going to happen. Yeah. Something which really fishy. I don't know.
Yeah, that is definitely fishy. Hey, I want to invite folks to call and find out what you think about some of the things going on in the news. For instance, Chinese billionaire Jack Ma, very famous fellow,
Alibaba's former CEO,
has not been seen for more than 2 months in public. Where is Jack Ma? He's established one of the most famous companies in the world. He's a billionaire. Yeah. Where did he go? Who did he make angry?
Well, I heard that he was he criticized Chairman Xi.
That's my question. That's the answer to my question. Yeah. Who did he make angry?
He really criticized. He used some of the bad words to criticize Chairman Xi, and because Chairman Xi stopped his new baby, the new company, from being able to IPO. Right, mm-hmm. That's called Ant Service. It's a financial, it's a financial service. Now, obviously, Chinese communist regime's leader realized you can't have all these private business owners to own all the banking service, all these financial services. That's because that's a big part need to be controlled by the central government.
So obviously, then. Even to the casual observer, it looks to me as though this is a way the Chinese government, the Communist Party, is sending a message to anybody who thinks they're too big to fail, so to speak.
That's right.
This guy was a billionaire, and he has not been seen in public for 2 months.
I heard that one news, somebody sent me that news. I said, what's it block? The number, the website, saying they interviewed him. They say he was house arrest in Hangzhou, and they don't let him out. Basically, it's house arrest.
I heard that all his passports were taken away. So they are trying to preventing him from leaving China.
Of course, look, let me just point this out. If you're a billionaire,
once you leave the country, you're free.
Yeah.
You can go anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, now that's one story in the news about China that's kind of scary. Here's the other one that caught my attention. China vowed on Saturday, this past Saturday, to respond to the delisting of three telecommunications giant companies by the New York Stock Exchange because of an executive order from the United States government. Now, because those are three giant Chinese companies.
Those are all state-owned companies. We all know the names, the China Unicom, China Telecom. What was the another one?
Was it Huawei?
No.
That's new ones.
Huawei are pretty new. Those are the state-owned companies. China Telecom, China Unicom. There's another one. China Mobile.
Okay, so now all three of these giant companies have been told by the New York Stock Exchange, sorry, we're going to delist you.
Yeah, it's because it was a State Department basically made an announcement because all these three companies, they have a military ties. They have a ties to Chinese military.
Sure.
So we are going to delist them from Wall Street, and China say they will revenge, basically.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. So now China has publicly stated, the CCP has publicly stated, we're going to retaliate against you delisting these companies from the New York Stock Exchange. Now, I don't know what retaliate means to the Chinese, but I know what retaliate means in standard American English. Bad things, they're going to try to do bad things to us.
To American companies?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that American companies should consider to decouple their business from China. I mean, if you list, you put yourself listed in Hong Kong stock market, you probably going to get screwed by the Chinese communist regime. Right? Now, Chinese government, they can do whatever they want to do to these private business owners. So for example, we just talked about Jack Ma.
Right.
Jack Ma basically announced back in September of 2018 that he's going to leave his post as a CEO of Alibaba a year from that time. So basically by September of 2019, he's going to say, I'm going to quit. And most people don't know why he's going to. I mean, think about if you are a CEO of the world's famous company, why are you going to quit? Why do you want to quit if you're still young, you have a lot of energy? Why do you want to quit? Now, a lot of people do not understand this. Ever since the later part of 2016, China's start with this kind of so-called mixed reform. They try to, it's to try to invite private business owners to invest and to innovate the public-owned companies, because all the public-owned companies that are owned by the regime, it's going bankrupt, right? They lose tons of money, they cannot sustain, and so they try to get money from the private business
investors,
right? So you have to make something to attract investors, right? If it's investors, you invest the money, you have a return, right?
Yeah.
But the problem is, number one, when they invite all these private business tycoons to invest their money to the public entities, number one, they don't, you're not going to be able to assess what's the total worth of the entity.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
And the other thing is, once you invest the money to the Chinese Communist Party, are you ever going to see it again?
Well, so the key is you cannot say
it's like
no.
A mafia deal.
It's like investing in the mafia. Amy's right.
That's right.
It's right, but the problem is that you cannot say no, right?
Well, not unless you want to wear some cement shoes.
That's why I say, make you offer, you cannot refuse.
You're right.
You
so
cannot say no, you cannot get out either.
Right. So basically, that's why he, back in 2018, that was one of the main reasons he announced that.
That was his mistake. What he should have done is taken one of his many passports.
And just left.
Left the country.
Yeah, I understood that he purchased a huge property somewhere here in the United States. It has water, it has some island or something.
Lake, everything, island, yes.
Yeah, I hope he still someday come to see his property here in the United States.
They will let him out alive.
Oh, my God.
Maybe it's ash. Can't spare it here or whatever.
Yeah, so that's what, that's the kind of, the whatever the Chinese government want to do to the private businesses, they can invent or create all kind of excuse, to have you to give your money to the party. Now, all the U.S. business, if you are still thinking of going to going to China to make investment, I think you need to think twice.
That's right.
And they paint things black and white. For example, I mean, they change the story anytime. I remember last year, like March 13th, that's like 2 days, 2 days after World Health Organization make an announcement there was a pandemic going on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, China's ministry spokesperson Zhao Lijian and sent a tweet out. He did actually send a tweet out twice and said the pandemic of COVID-19 was brought to China by U.S. military athletes who went to China to join the Wuhan military war game in October of 2019. So he was criticized. He was widely criticized in the Western world. But however, guess what? Just a week ago, on January the 3rd.
Yeah, I'm looking at the headline.
Yeah, they said it again. Yeah. That China's top diplomat,
the foreign minister.
Yeah, foreign minister suggests that the global outbreak it was started
outside the country may have caused the COVID-19 pandemic from outside. China.
And then from multiple places. Did he have a dream or something?
And then meanwhile, they arrest the doctor, report the truth in China, remember?
Correct, yes. They ended up dying.
Doctor. Yeah.
That fellow ended up dying. It actually made himself an instant martyr by telling the world, hey, man, I know where this came from.
Yeah, Dr. Li Wenliang, right? The whistleblower. Remember that? That was December 30th, 2019.
Those are two things you should never ever hear in the same sentence.
Right.
Whistleblower, China.
Yeah.
In the same sentence. Because that's not a good outcome for the whistleblower.
That's right.
No more. And then a bunch of reported about the truth. This outbreak. Remember, they are arrested.
Yep.
Right. They are all arrested.
A lot of people already forgot.
Yeah, well, we don't know where they are either. They've been disappeared.
Well, the latest one, it's called the Citizen Reporter because none of the state-owned big media want to report it, want to cover what's going on in Wuhan. So it ended up a bunch of so-called citizen reporters. Basically, people volunteered themselves, went to Wuhan to cover the beginning. A stage of the pandemic, so they ended up in jail, and then it was just a couple of weeks ago, right? One of the ladies was a citizen reporter.
Four years sentenced.
Four years in a very, very, very bad place.
Oh, well, of course.
And you know, the other thing in the story, in the news, the story that really kind of got to me was the factories that they're, you know, they we know about. Amy's told us about the re-education camps, the areas where your political view needs to be changed, and so they send you to try to re-educate you. Mm-hmm. But now apparently there are factories being built right next to these re-education camps, and observers have long warned about the rising forced labor, which is taking place in places like Jianjiang.
Mm-hmm.
Satellite images now show factories built just steps away from cell blocks in these places. Forced labor. So now not even the labor pool is fair. You know, how can foreign companies who think they're going to bring company business to China, like you were talking about, trying to work with Chinese companies, but now they can't. There's no way, if you have to pay your labor force, there's no way you can compete.
Oh yeah, of course, that's one of the biggest issue, right? And not to mention all the foreign companies, like Walmart, like other companies, when they in the last decade of time, it's been more than a decade. They are aware that the Chinese Communist Party formally established their Communist Party branches in this foreign business that operated in China. So basically, you basically work with Communist Party, you have to listen to them, because they really behind your employees. If they send a notice to all your employees, in China, guess what's going to happen? Do you think the employees will still follow the rules that's set up by all these foreign business?
I never thought of it that way, but I guess not.
Yeah.
So what you're saying then, let's say, I have no idea what I'm making this example up, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I want everybody to know that. But let's just say General Motors makes a deal to build cars in China, and they set up the standard General Motors car plant, you know, part automation line, people bolting on parts, people, you know, building engines, all that sort of thing. And the Chinese government says, we want to do away with the safety rule.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, General Motors says, well, wait a minute. We have rules about safety in our plants. No matter where they're located, we want to make sure you can't carry something too heavy. You're trying to protect the workers. So what you're saying then is the workers aren't going to follow the rules that the Chinese government says don't worry about it?
Well, I think most likely it's, say, if General Motors have some sort of advanced technology on the engine or something, if Chinese government demand the secret and General Motors refuse to give it, and they can, basically the Communist Party will be able to handle some sort of
strike
for whatever the excuse they may out of, mm-hmm. they will be able to do that.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah. Hey, we have John. John's calling from the vast metropolis of Aptos. Hi, John.
Good afternoon.
Government
restricting free speech, and we know China does that, and I think, Bill, you said that, well, the difference is that... Twitter and these other ones are private companies. They're restricting it. But if the government is compliant, then in essence, they're also guilty of restricting free speech.
So if the government doesn't step in and say, no, you can't do that, you can't restrict free speech, then they're culpable as well?
I would think so.
You know, that's a court case right there, I think. You might be right about your point of view, but it sure sounds like that would have to be adjudicated in court, because I think not stopping someone is different than actually stopping someone.
Well, I think our government is actually absolutely responsible to change the Section 230. I mean, this just gave too much leeway to all these private company, big techs, to censor our freedom of speech.
I have one other thing, Bill, if I can.
Go ahead.
Yeah. As far as I think they were referred to that young man, a tank boy, to say that he was not too bright is really a sad... We shouldn't say that.
Well, no, I said that facetiously. I'm sorry. I understand being corrected on that, and I'll take responsibility for being an idiot by saying that. What I meant was... For his own safety, he did not conduct himself in a way that would make sure he was going to be safe, because you just knew, looking at that picture, that the Chinese government was going to remove him from sight.
Yeah, but he disregarded his own safety.
True.
It would be like take back the our Revolutionary War. These poor guys were out there tromping in the snow, no pay, no food, no shoes. Would we say they weren't too bright?
Oh, no. And you're absolutely right to call me on that. I freely admit I was wrong.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call. I knew when I said that I was probably going to get myself in trouble. And I'm glad somebody called me on it, because, when I said it, I went, well, okay, I'm saying this facetiously. Most everybody will get it. But the guy actually became the symbol of the movement.
Yeah.
You were correct. Mm-hmm. He did actually inspire a lot of people around the world. Amy, I hope I didn't interrupt you. Did you want to say something?
No. Go ahead. I just agree with what you said.
The thing about this whole look, we have a shining example of what we never want to see when we look at China. It's a shining example of how they operate that we just don't agree with. And when we talk to Amy, when we talk to you, when we talk to other people who've grown up under the communist regime in China, we should really pay attention to what you're saying about how bad it can really get.
It is true. And it is true. Now, when it gets bad, it's really fast. It gets bad.
Yeah, there's no, it the accelerator goes down pretty hard.
Yeah.
And that, you know, it does make you wonder. It makes me wonder, like this fellow who started Alibaba, made a few comments about the Chinese president, and now we haven't seen him for a while.
Yeah.
This guy's a billionaire. He's not a small-time player in China. It makes you wonder how many people have crossed paths unpleasantly with a lesser official somewhere in China where, you know, well, like Amy's told us several stories about these people that she's dealt with that, you know, could easily ruin your life.
Oh, yeah, it is. If things are happening in China, you definitely have no freedom and you can't get out. You're basically just trapped. And go back to the companies. We talk about the three companies that U.S. want to delist.
The telecom companies.
Now, China Mobile, China Telecom, China Unicom. Now, let's talk about one of them. I'll give you the example why one of the reasons that China... We gave the reason that the U.S. State Department believe they have ties to China's Chinese military, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like talking about China Unicom, I'm not sure if you know, China Unicom, it's the company that made and set up all the internet connections in North Korea.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That is the company that did it.
Honest to God, I didn't know, and I'm not being facetious. I didn't know North Korea had any internet connections.
Well, they do. They did. And they have had it for a long time. I mean, China Unicom of the companies built it for them.
Yeah.
Only their dear leader can use them, not the people, right?
Well, I don't know that. I don't know how many people were able to get onto the internet.
I don't think they're allowed to have a cell phone.
Well, I know that they only have one frequency, one radio station in the entire nation. It's like the kind of like a radio host. There is no such a thing in North Korea.
In North Korea,
there's no Rush Limbaugh in North Korea.
Dear leader can watch YouTube. He says so.
Oh yeah, of course.
Probably that's why. Yeah, you can watch anything.
He can watch whatever he wants to watch.
Well, I think he watches a lot of basketball.
Oh yeah,
he's a big fan apparently.
Yeah, he is.
And obviously, he's seen The Apprentice.
What do you think, Amy?
I think that this China Unicom, this company, and also China Mobile, and the state-owned the company, and so. It's actually for a long time. I don't know how long they be in the stock market already. For a long time, it should be forbidden then. I don't know. Just started now?
Well, yeah, it just delisted on the December 30th. Somehow they took it back. They say they're going to let them continue listed, and then they just announced, I think yesterday, they still decide to delist
them.
Yeah.
So why?
So you think? I think we should watch out those things and see. Probably very soon they're gonna be relisted again.
Yeah. Well, I hope not.
That's one of an indication. So if you think our China policy were changing or not.
Well, I hope I definitely hope that our China policy for the last 4 years will not change. I mean, all these companies, they come here, they take U.S. investors' money. I mean, think about that. All these three companies are really, they are the state-owned companies, pretty much. They call it the private company. It's not. Well,
you know what I would really like to see is, I don't know that cutting trade off completely is a bad idea, but I think we should enact strict espionage laws.
Right, espionage. I mean,
industrial espionage. You know, stealing our government secrets and stealing our company secrets is just, man. You know?
Yeah, that's one thing, espionage. And also, all these companies, if they serve China's military.
Yeah, we shouldn't deal with
them. We shouldn't have them come here to invite U.S. investors to go to China to invest on them, right?
Too late.
Yeah, I think Amy might be right. Amy might be right.
Impossible. I think we should get up and not still sleep in the la la land. Everything, business as usual, go back. That's impossible. Everything's going to revise back to the before 4 years ago, okay? You will see it.
Well, I just really feel sad if you things go back to 4 years ago, that a lot of U.S. manufactured jobs would be lost.
Yeah, I'm not as pessimistic as Amy is. I'm a little more optimistic that we can put the put some controls on it and keep some of that. But
who going to do that?
Well, I think...
Biden's going to do that, right?
Well, I don't know if Biden's going to do it, but I think certainly there are members of Congress who share the same point of view on this that you do, Amy, and that Nan does. I think that certainly our military advisors to the, to the government at all levels are going to say, look, this is a bad idea. We don't want, we don't think you should trade with China Telecom. We think that's a really bad idea.
And also, think about this. We need to, I think we really need to impose the very strict rules on accounting auditing on all these Chinese companies.
Well, considering all the money the United States has put out recently on various things, I think a really giant audit is a good idea.
Yeah. but by the way, so far that has not been really happening.
Well, tell me about it. I understand that, but I'm thinking we're getting to the point. I mean, don't you agree? We're getting to the point where a giant audit is really a good idea.
It's an excellent idea. It's not good idea. It's an excellent idea. It's something. It's a necessary.
Well, we've been printing money like crazy and not really accounting for it. I think we should start accounting for it.
I think wishful thinking.
Wishful thinking. Well, okay, well, Amy, you might be right.
I hope that happens.
Amy is pretty pessimistic. I hope we don't go back to the olden days that we don't even able to make a manufacture mask for ourselves in this country.
Don't even go there.
Yeah.
All right, listen, we're almost out of time. I'm going to take our last commercial break. We'll be back to wrap up the show in just a moment here on China Uber Alice. User-friendly computing is Santa Cruz County's top-rated IT service and solutions provider since 1993. Here's why. Service and repair. Whether it's hardware or software, servers or a workstation, we'll fix it or find you a new one. Managed services. Optimize and protect your infrastructure with 24/7, 365 proactive monitoring. Cloud solutions. Cloud IT is the future of small and medium business technology management. Website design. Engage customers and grow your business with tools to update your own content. Backup and recovery. Ensure business continuity with a comprehensive backup and disaster recovery plan. And finally, security and compliance. Advanced security systems help protect your data and keep your business up and running. There's only one place to go for all your computer and IT solutions, User-Friendly Computing, 505 River Street in Santa Cruz. Give Peter and his friendly staff a call at 831-423-9653. And be sure to tell them you heard about it on KSCO.
Hi, Hi, folks. This is Stephanie from Ben Lomond Market. We're a family-owned and operated full-service market here to meet all the needs of you and your family, offering old-fashioned meat department, a full-service deli with homemade hot and cold quality selections for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Freshly baked cakes, cookies, breads, along with locally baked gourmet goods. For those looking for a special dietary need, such as gluten-free or sugar-free, we have it. A full assortment of conventional and organic fruits and vegetables, gourmet cheeses, local wines. We also do catering. Let Mill Street Catering Events take care of all of your food preparation. Local people, local products, a family tradition since 1946. Ben Lomond Market store hours are Monday through Sunday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Our senior shopping hour is on Wednesday morning from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Thank you for shopping with us at Ben Lomond Market.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Starting January 9th, Think Local First is going to 2 hours every Saturday from 2 to 4 p.m. Think Local First is a driving force in supporting our local businesses, and now we want to be that driving force with an hour extra having local public figures telling us what's happening in your community. We'll continue to bring you all the information on your favorite local business in town, and remember, Think Local First every Saturday from 2 to 4 p.m. starting January 9th on KSCO Radio AM 1080 or live at KSCO.com. Think Local First.
All right, so we're just about at the end of our program for this week. I do have to check in with Amy. Amy, what do we got scheduled for next week? What are you going to tell us about?
Next week?
Next week. Have you decided on the story for next week yet?
Not yet.
Oh, good. Well, because, see, well, no, people like don't understand. Amy has, like, thousands of stories to talk about.
And he put the stopping point of the story almost at the point.
Yeah.
Well, today, always at the point you want to hear more.
Well, today's story, you know, tied in with the events of the last couple of hours. And I thought it was great. Amy, thank you for your insights, as always. And we hope that... we hope that folks enjoy your stories as much as we do. If you want to find out more about China Uber Alice, it's really quite simple. You just go to the website, ChinaUberAlice.com. A-L-L-E-S is Alice. ChinaUberAlice, all one word, .com. Sign up for our newsletter, and you'll find out all about the show. It's that simple. When we do this program... we try to follow what's going on in the wonderful world of news and information as we relate it to China. So we don't exactly know what's going on next week, but I rest my case when I tell you we will have at least 15 topics to talk about next week. Because
For sure. Every week. Right now, China is in our backyard. It's in everyone's backyard. Yes. I mean, it's just that if we don't watch what we get from China, I mean, they get to our nerve, get down to our nerve really fast.
Yes. All right, so we want to wish everybody a great week. Amy, once again, of course, thank you for your great stories and your participation. It's always valuable. And, of course, Nansu from Epoch Times, we want to thank you. Times. 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 We want to thank you.